Have a
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It is my pleasure to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli, who is the author of Lifting the Veil, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. How are you today, IQ?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Good. It's last week we did something I wished I would like us to continue to do, because there are just so few voices willing to tell the truth, unvarnished, blunt, bold, a truth that the whole world needs to hear, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, which is that this notion that the bombing that was perpetrated in Boston was perpetrated because the Sharnarev boys were radicalized is not true, is it?
There is no such thing as a radicalized Muslim.
That's correct.
Because every single Muslim is radical from the day they are born to the day they are dead. They are radicalized, not radicalized, they are indoctrinated to hate in their mosques.
Yeah.
Nobody radicalized these people.
In the biological term, in the botanic term, to be a radical is to be of the root, and therefore all Muslims are radical in the botanic sense of the term. In the political sense of the term, which is or religious sense of the term, which is to change something, to distort something, to be at the extreme of something, then the term is completely inappropriate. The fact is that the Muslims that prefer that that conduct terrorist acts, those who perpetrate terrorist acts, are almost universally fundamentalists. They are in the term, the Salafist term is the Sunni term is Salafist. And maybe you could explain to our listeners what Salaf means in Arabic, and why the term is applied to the most fundamentalist Muslims.
The Salaf means are the companions of Muhammad. So they are trying to project themselves to 1400 years ago. What I would like the Americans to understand, that every single follower of Muhammad, whether he is westernized or... I mean, these two guys they look like Americans. They were wearing Nike hats.
Yeah, yeah.
They were literally, you couldn't tell them from anybody else. But they have one fundamental root, and that is, Allah is our objective. Muhammad is our prophet. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the way of Allah, وَالْمَوْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, is our highest aspiration.
And they get that directly out of the Quran. They get that directly out of the Quran and Hadith. Just as a minor correction, they were wearing New Balance hats, but that is an American shoemaker nonetheless. The reality is that the Quran and the Hadith are a declaration of war against all humankind. From the point that Muhammad left Mecca in shame, following the satanic verses and the mythical ride on the wild winged ass to the non-existent temple in Jerusalem. From that point on, he formed the Pledge of Aqaba, which was a declaration of war against all humankind, and that begins the Islamic era. And from that point, Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids. Every one of the raids was specifically designed for booty, to satiate the bloodlust of his companions, to satiate the carnal desires of his companions, and for pure covetousness. They robbed, they raped, they enslaved. All 75 of those raids. And so just one last thought, and then we'll go on. It related to the Salaf. The reason the term Salaf, which is the companions of Muhammad, the ancestors, their ancestors, the first Muslims, the reason the term Salaf is used is because we have an enormous reservoir of information from the Salaf. It's called the Hadith. The Hadith are oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. They all come with an isnad, which is as which ancestor, which companion of the prophet is the person responsible for the transmission of the Hadith. And is it not true, IQ, that the Hadith and the Quran were spoken by the same person and passed on to us by the same people in exactly the same way? So, in truth, there really is no difference between the Quran and the Hadith.
None whatsoever. The Quran and Hadith are the basis of Sharia. That's it. And all we have is what Muhammad allegedly said and what his companions said he said. That's all that humanity has.
That's correct. So if we want to know everything that can be known about Muhammad, it comes from two sources. The Hadith, of which there were four Hadith collections written within 200 years of Muhammad's death, and the Quran. Apart from the Quran and the Hadith, nothing can be known about the man. And it is entirely possible that the Quran and the Hadith, in addition just to being factually untrue, scientifically untrue, morally reprehensible, that behind all of that, it is highly likely that enormous swaths of the Quran and Hadith don't even resemble what Muhammad actually said and did.
But that's also a fact, because if you remember the Sana'a manuscripts, the documents that were found in 1973 or so in the mosque in Sana'a, which were literally deciphered by a German scientist.
Right.
There were 1,700 differences only in the documents that he was allowed to see.
Correct.
1,700 differences between the Quran as was in the 8th century and the Quran that we have today.
Yeah, and the reason that's important is because Muslims claim that the Quran is word for word, letter for letter, even punctuation and numbers exactly as it was handed down, when in fact that isn't even remotely close to being the truth. But the reason that's not important is that since all that is known about Muhammad and Islam's foundation is in the Quran and Hadith, and that is what Muslims are following today when they commit terrorist acts, it really doesn't matter anymore what actually happened, or what was actually said. All that really matters is what Muslims believe that he said and did, correct?
Correct, but I mean, really, the fundamental answer to this one is that both Quran and Hadith self-destruct.
Quran, that's true. Correct.
They prove that Muhammad was not a prophet, and that
correct.
The Quran was never revealed to Muhammad by any god, not even Allah.
Correct. Well, God, Allah's not a god, so that that's a bit redundant. Well, let's just share some more statements from the Quran, because and also the Hadith, because there's this myth that is being perpetrated in America. Well, you know, there's some violent verses also in the Bible, therefore, we shouldn't single out just a few verses in Islam that are violent. And what I want to convey here is two things by quoting these verses. One is that the number of violent verses in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, in terms of where God is saying, I want you to go off and commit an act that would be considered violent, is probably in the range of about 20. And they're all geared for the same thing. God had a home, a little slice of land called Yisrael, and he realized that religion was a bubonic type plague, and it was almost like, you know, the rats that carried the plague in medieval Europe. Well, in this case, religion is perpetrated by people. That's the host of religion. And in his house only, for a period of time, he wanted the perpetrators, the host of religion, eliminated so his people would have a chance of surviving, because he recognized how vicious religions like Islam are. And so all of the scriptural instructions on killing were for a 60-year period in a tiny little swath of land over 3,500 years ago. There is none that are open-ended.
Yeah, but
in place or in time. Not one of them is open-ended in place and time. Is it true, IQ, that 100% of the many, many hundreds upon thousands of Islamic declarations to fight and kill, that they're all open-ended in place and time, the whole world and for all time?
Absolutely. This is when I discuss it with Muslims, and they're trying to say, first of all, let me get this straight. They say that Allah revealed the Torah to Moses. And if Allah revealed the Torah to Moses, and in the Torah, Allah told him to do these acts, the 60 items that you mentioned, why mm-hmm. are they complaining?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Why are they complaining? Don't kill these people. So why are they complaining?
Yeah, well, you know, the fact is that if God wipes out people with an asama, with a conscience, through Mesopotamia, you can't say, well, there's a comparative violent act in the Bible because God killed the people with the flood versus Muslims killing under Muhammad's orders. Let me tell you something, folks. If God caused the flood, we have absolute proof that that the flood occurred in the region at the time that that it was said the Burkle impact crater is absolute proof that it happened at that time in that place. If God caused a flood to happen and he's God, you probably don't want to argue with him. You probably want to figure out why he did it. Now, in the case of Muslims, if people are doing it and blaming it on God, that's an entirely different story. Is it not?
It is. It is. But, I mean, what I'm trying to convey to the American listener, if they believe that their God, Allah, revealed the Torah to Moses, and if the Torah, God or Allah, told Moses what to do, why are they now comparing the Bible to the Quran? The most important thing, the most important difference
right.
between the
unfavorably.
Quran,
yeah, unfavorably. That's hypocritical. Which what you're saying is it's another example of hypocrisy. It's like the mother of the Boston bombers saying that that somebody else corrupted their sons. They're not responsible. She's not responsible. She's not a thief. She was a good mother. In fact, the line that's the most hypocritical, he said that America killed her sons because they are Muslims, as opposed to the opposite of that being true, which is that the Muslims killed America because they're Muslims. She said, no, they were killed because they were Muslims. It's the idea that you would defend Islam by criticizing the Torah, which the Quran says it's God revealed, which of course is stupid, absolutely untrue and impossible. But to criticize the Torah, which you say that your God revealed, and saying that it's inferior to the Quran is pure hypocrisy. It's a irrational argument. Let me share with you a parting comment from the Quran, 495. Not equal are those believers who sit home and do not receive injurious hurt, and those who strive hard, fighting jihad in Allah's cause with their wealth and their lives. Allah has granted a rank higher for those who fight jihad with their wealth and their bodies to those who sit home. Allah prefers jihadists who fight and gives them a huge reward.
What's safe?
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm here with IQ Al Rasuli. We're talking about the nature of Islam. Here's another lovely quote from the Hadith. This would be a Salaf quote. All fundamentalist Muslims would know this quote. A man came to Allah's apostle and said, "Instruct me as to such a deed that equals jihad in reward." Muhammad replied, "I am not aware of such a deed." So according to Muhammad, the lone spokesperson for the wannabe God Allah, the founder of the Islamic religion, he was asked, "Is there any deed that equals jihad in reward?" And Muhammad said, no, there's not. Bukhari again, Allah's apostle was asked, "What is the best deed?" He said, "Oh, now he has it. Now this time he's got a better deed. To believe in Allah and his apostle Muhammad." The questioner asked, "What is the next best deed and goodness?" He cried, "To participate in jihad, religious fighting, in Allah's cause." You know, it's always amazing how in the Quran, believing in Allah and believing in Muhammad are equated. Following Muhammad's orders and following Allah's orders in the Quran are always equated. That tells you two things. So you have to follow Muhammad's example. You have to believe in Muhammad. You have to follow Muhammad's orders in addition to Allah's orders and example and belief. So since the Quran is a chronological disaster and provides no context whatsoever and only mentions Muhammad by name less than a handful of times, how would one come to know what Muhammad said to follow his orders? How would one come to know what Muhammad did to follow his example without the hadith?
You can't. Without the hadith, you can't. By the way, I want to go back about something.
Yes.
Very important. The mother. Mm-hmm. The mother blames America. Now, let me explain something to all those who are listening. Muhammad was a pathological narcissist.
Yep.
And in pathological narcissism, the pathological narcissism will never, ever admit guilt. They always project their guilt on somebody else.
Right. For example, like a politician today.
Exactly. But Muhammad was a master of this. He, when he first started in Mecca, he accused his own kith and kin, the Quraysh tribe, of oppressing and persecuting him.
Yeah, right.
And his followers, when in fact, it was he and his followers who were insulting, attacking, degrading, humiliating, and denying the centuries-old religious beliefs of his people unless they accepted him as an apostle.
That is correct.
Never will you find a Muslim, ever, in the Arabic language or in any language, admitting fault. They are never at fault.
Always
the Zionists, the Christians, Western imperialism, anybody else, but never Islam.
Correct. Always 100% of the time, they never, never accept blame for anything. Never. It's impossible for a Muslim to say, I'm wrong, I'm at fault, I'm responsible for that, unless they're taking claim for having committed a terrorist act in Allah's cause, which they don't view as admitting to something that is bad, but instead admitting to something that is good. Because killing is good. They'll take responsibility for killing. They'll take responsibility for terrorism, but they think that killing and terrorism are good. But in terms of their own failures, they will never accept responsibility for their own failures, ever.
Yeah. So the mother is like the mother of all the terrorists who attacked Israel, and attacked France, who attacked Germany.
Correct. She's also a...
It's the fault of the Israelis, it's the fault of imperialism, it's the fault of everybody.
Yeah, and yet she's a parasite and a thief. She's responsible for grand larceny in the United States. She sold $1,500 for a store, which is why she fled the United States. She is a fugitive from justice in the United States. She is an example of Muslims the world over. She was also dependent upon the charity of others, as were the Muslims who migrated to Yathrib, today's Medina. They were lived on the charity of the three Jewish communities there. It is just like the mythical people known as the Palestinians. They are totally dependent on the charity of the rest of the world. And so she is like the mother of all Muslims. If you like Islam, you're going to love her. Quran 33:22. Among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with Allah and have gone out for jihad. Some have completed their vow to the extreme and have been martyred, fighting and dying in his cause. And others are still waiting, prepared for death in battle. This from Bukhari, which is the most respected collection of hadith. Allah's apostle said, on the day of the conquest of Mecca, there was no more migration. You couldn't escape. Only jihad. Only holy battle. And when you are called for jihad, you must come at once. Bukhari, Allah's apostle said, there is no migration after the conquest of Mecca. Only jihad. When you are called by the Muslim ruler to fight jihad, you must go forth immediately, responding to his order. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. There are very few things that are as important as coming to understand that Islam is a terrorist manifesto, that is a declaration of war against all humankind, that the Boston bombings, as were the 9/11 suicide bombings, were perpetrated by good Muslims, by fundamentalist Muslims, not individuals who corrupted their religion, but instead individuals who were corrupted by their religion. There is absolutely no way to be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist. 100% of good Muslims are terrorists. Only bad Muslims can be peaceful people, and the Quran specifically says that if a Muslim is not a jihadist, if a Muslim is peaceful, then they become a hypocrite, because there is total hypocrisy between Islam and peace, according to the wannabe Islamic God in the ninth surah. And then good Muslims are ordered to kill the Muslim hypocrites who feign peace. Can you imagine a religion, IQ, and I've been, that's a summary of the ninth surah, I let you verify whether or not I have summarized it correctly, that Allah is upset, actually it's Muhammad that's upset, because Allah is an extension of Muhammad, that the first Muslims won't go off and wage war against the Byzantine communities, because they've overhunted Arabia, they've overhunted Jews, and so he needs new prey, and they didn't want to go off across the desert to attack the Byzantines, because they actually had an army. Muhammad never faced an army. And so they said, no, we don't want to go do it. And Muhammad then defined any Muslim who was peaceful and not willing to engage in jihad as a hypocrite, and told good fundamentalist Muslim jihadists to kill them so that Allah could torture them in hell. Is that an accurate summation of the ninth surah?
It's perfect. By the way, you are such a nice guy. I mean, you use very moderate language. Muslims in the West are parasites. They are parasites. They suck
they
the blood of the nations they live in.
Yes.
A nation like
Denmark
is a very small country.
Yeah.
40% of the National Health Service is wasted on 10% of the immigrants who are Muslim.
Yeah.
The same thing in Europe, in England, in France, in Germany, everywhere. They suck our blood. They
yeah.
use our freedom to destroy us with it. And who is
right.
allowing them? Our leaders.
Right. And that's the reason why exposing the truth about Islam, and that Islam is the cause of all of this, is so important. A United States senator was talking about the fact that Jokhar Shinarev admitted that there was no outside influence, that they did this on behalf of Islam. And the senator said, we can't accept that. He says, you know, but that's just saying, we cannot accept the truth that Islam is responsible for this, and yet all you have to do is read the Quran.
Point out to him, read the Quran.
Of course, read the Quran, read the Hadith, or save yourself a lot of trouble, because the Quran is such a jumbled mess, and the ninth surah wouldn't make a lot of sense to people unless you know the context of the ninth surah. And so it's very helpful to read the Quran in the context of the Hadith, so that it's in chronological order, and you know what Muhammad is talking about. But, you know, Prophet of Doom is free, and it does that, documenting everything. Muslim, which is another collection of hadith, he says, I heard Muhammad say, I would not stay behind for a raid for jihad while it was being mobilized, unless it was going to be too hard on the believers. I would love that I should be killed in Allah's cause, and that I should be brought back to life to be killed again in Allah's cause. So here's Muhammad saying, you know, I know I've sent you guys off on terrorist raids, and I've told you to bring me back the babes so I can rape them, and the children so that I can enslave them, and 20% of the money that you steal so I can lavish it on myself. But I don't want to go off on all these raids myself, because it would be too great a burden on all the Muslims back here if I were to go. But I would love to be killed in Allah's cause, and to be reincarnated, and to be killed again in Allah's cause. When you hear that kind of a thing, it reminds me of the imam and the suicide bomber. And the suicide bomber, why doesn't the suicide bomber ever go back to the imam and say, you know, if this is such a good deal, this is such a good idea, why aren't you doing it?
That's why you never hear of an imam or a mullah or an ayatollah ever going on a suicide bombing.
Never.
Muhammad was a coward. The verse you just quoted.
He says, I'm a coward.
The verse you just quoted shows him to be an absolute coward.
Of course.
And the hadith also show him that he was a coward.
Right. In fact, there's one hadith where Muhammad, there are... three times. There's only two times. There are two times where the Meccan overweight businessmen, the merchants of Mecca, decided that they were going to attack Muhammad. So there's only two attacks that were actually waged against Muhammad. And so the businessmen of Mecca decided to come up because they were just tired of Muhammad raiding their caravans, kidnapping their women and children, and holding people hostage for ransom payments. They got tired of being terrorized by Muhammad. So twice the Meccan businessmen went up to Yathrib, where Muhammad had hightailed it to live, and they tried to stop him. And one of those times, Muhammad's actually kicked in the teeth, and I think he loses a tooth, and all he does is cry. I mean, he is just, and his militants are in retreat, and he's screaming at his militants to save him. I mean, the guy is pathetic.
It's true, right? I mean, this is the verse, it's in the hadith. He kept saying to his followers, who will die next for me? And the next one dies. And who will die the next one for me? So he went through all of the ones who were protecting him without him lifting a finger to defend himself.
Of course.
It's in the hadith.
Or even Allah to defend him because he couldn't know. Of course, Allah couldn't defend him because Allah was a figment of his imagination. Quran 9111. Allah has purchased the believers and their lives and their goods. For them in return is the garden of paradise. They fight in Allah's cause and they are slain and they slay. They kill and they are killed. So Allah owns them. That's why Allah is called a Lord in the Quran. Bukhari. Allah's apostle said, I have been ordered. This is Muhammad claiming that his wannabe God has ordered him to fight with the people till they say none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. This is also memorialized in the Quran. What this is saying is that the onslaught of Islamic terrorism will continue until Islam is the only religion on earth. And by the way, even then it would not end because Muslims would then begin killing Muslims. That is how open-ended it is. Allah's apostle said, and this is also recorded in the Quran, I have been ordered to fight till they say none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Until Allah, who was modeled after Satan, is the only God on planet Earth. When only Allah is worshipped as God, Allahu Akbar, Allah is a greater. That's how long the Islamic onslaught, its declaration of war against all humankind, will last.
Yeah, but Muhammad also said that Allah made him victorious by terror.
Of course. Yeah, I have been made victorious by terror. By terror. Correct. And Allah admits to being a terrorist in the Quran. Quran 47:4. So when you clash with the unbelieving infidels in battle, fighting jihad in Allah's cause, smite them on their necks until you overpower them, killing and wounding many of them. At length, when you have thoroughly subdued them, bind them firmly, making them captives. Thereafter, either generosity or ransom. Ransom would mean that you take a tribute for returning them. It's what happens off of the Somali coast all the time. Until they accept, he says, these are based upon the benefits of Islam. Until the war lays down its burdens. Thus you are commanded by Allah to continue carrying out jihad against the unbelieving infidels until they submit to Islam.
Well, if you want to continue, let me continue. Al-Ma'idah 5.51. O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud, and the Christians, Nasara, for your friends and protectors. They're but friends and protectors to each other, and he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is of them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you what that means. That means any Muslim in the United States of America, any Muslim in Europe, any Muslim among the Christians cannot ever be a friend of a Jew or a Christian. Forbidden by the Quran. These are not my words, these are the words of the Quran. And Imran 3.85. If anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. And last but not least, Al-Tawbah 9.33. It is he, Allah, who has sent his apostle Muhammad with guidance and the religion of truth to proclaim it over all other religions. religions. These verses remind me of Hitler's Mein Kampf, the Nazi master race creed. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, Mein Kampf means my struggle.
And Muhammad
fact,
also had jihad, my struggle.
Well, what is the and jihad means my struggle. So in the Islamic world, the second most popular book is not named Mein Kampf. It is named My Struggle, but it happens to be Hitler's Mein Kampf. Yes. Mein Kampf, Hitler's rant, and Islam are almost indistinguishable. In fact, in Prophet of Doom, I dedicate 77 pages of Prophet of Doom to juxtaposing Hitler's Mein Kampf and the Islamic scripture that is essentially identical to Hitler's rant. Both had the same enemy. Both use the same tactic. This is an interesting statement also in the ninth surah of the Quran, 122. It is not proper for believers, this would be Muslims, to all go forth together to fight jihad. A troop from every expedition should remain behind when others go to war. Now, why do you suppose the Islamic God told his fellow Muslims that they had to leave a troop behind when they went off to fight jihad?
To protect the booty.
Correct. And also...
They had to protect the booty.
And also to make certain that that there would not be insurrection, that there would be no opportunity for the Muslims to come to their senses and say, my God, what has become of us? I mean, all we have is blood money. Everything we have, we've stolen. Everything we've had, we have it because we were willing to massacre people. What is wrong with us? And so, to keep anybody from coming to their senses, a troop always had to be left at home. We'll return to Shattering Myths and more statements regarding Islam so that there is no doubt that Islam was the bomber, that Muhammad inspired the bombers of Boston and also of 9/11, for he said jihad is compulsory.
Gardeners.
To Shattering Myths. This is the last segment for today. We're here with IQ Al Rasuli. And the reason, IQ, that you and I risk our lives to tell people the truth about Islam is that there is a consequence, is there not, about doing with the American politicians, American media, and American judicial individuals do related to this religion, which is to excuse it, which is to lie about it. What will be the consequence of the world, and particularly of Americans, disassociating terrorism from Islam when Islam is the sole source of terrorism? What do you think will ultimately happen to us because of our foolishness in this regard?
The end of Western civilization and Christianity.
Yeah. It is true. It's the end of Western civilization. Muslims cannot conquer the West. It's not a case where Islam is capable of defeating the West, but they can destroy it.
Yes, but and they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, by the way, they can't even destroy it with on their own. The only way that Muslims can destroy the West is to deploy Western technology, which the West sells Muslims through the financed by the OPECers. But, for example, on 9/11, they didn't create the airplanes that they used as bombs flying into our buildings. In the case even of the Boston bombers, the money for the bomb that they deployed, all the ingredients were made in America and or by the Chinese, but American through the welfare system paid for it. They're not going to do this on their own. You know the old Karl Marx line that the capitalist will actually make the rope that will be used to hang them? Well, in the case of the West, we have manufactured the weapons and given them the weapons that they will use to destroy us. Not conquer us, destroy us and themselves in the process.
Yeah, the worse than this. It's not the weapons. It is our leadership which is allowing them.
Of course.
Even with the weapons, they couldn't do it. Look, let me say this. Jihad is the sixth and most important pillar of Islam.
Correct.
Every Muslim exegete agrees to this.
Correct.
By the way, the moral right to submit to Islam, revolted and apostatized.
Correct.
Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa, the successor of Muhammad, 2 years of slaughter to make them submit again to Islam.
What is that first war called? This war when, after Muhammad's death, most Muslims recanted and said, you know, this is really a disgusting thing that we have done. So what was the war called that forced all Arabians to accept Islam or die? What was the war called?
In Arabic, the Ridda Wars, which means the war of the apostasy.
Okay. In English, it is the title of the war is the War of Compulsion. And Tabati's history of Islam is called the War of Compulsion. Everyone in Arabia was forced to become a Muslim or die. This was actually done to the Arabs. It was perpetrated on them. They are the legacy of that great war. You know, when you read the Quran, one of the things that becomes obvious is that the Meccans, those who knew Muhammad best, knew exactly what he was up to. And as did the Muslims who lived with him.
In the Quran, by the way, the Quran tells you the facts of how much they knew about him. They called him a charlatan, they called him a sorcerer, they called him a liar, and he denied every single one of them in his Quran.
Yeah. One of the things that's always fascinating to me, IQ, is this complicity between government officials in the West and Islam, where it may be a stretch to say that 9/11, for example, was caused through American complicity. But it certainly would not be a stretch to say that American complicity made it possible. America knew the plot of 9/11 was conceived by Ramzi Youssef, had full evidence of exactly what the Muslims were going to do 6 years before it happened. They knew about the flight training. They knew who conceived the plan. They had a copy of the plan. They knew which buildings they were going to fly into. They knew everything about the 9/11 plot 6 years before it happened. They not only allowed it to happen, but then when it did happen, there was no one in the U.S. government that says, we bad, we're tipped on this and did nothing. And so it is by lying on behalf of Islam, it's by funding Islam, it's like a president, this president, upholding the Muslim Brotherhood, providing it with weapons, providing the Mujahideen in Syria with weapons, providing the Mujahideen in Libya with weapons, providing the Saudi Arabians with $100 billion worth of weapons, by giving Iraq to Iran, we have facilitated our own death, have we not?
Absolutely true. Yes, we have.
So Muslims are going to pull the trigger, but they're only able to pull the trigger because our leaders have been treasonous with regarding our own protection. Is that not correct?
100% correct.
Is an act of suicide born of ignorance. We'll be back on Monday with Shattering Myths. Thank you, IQ.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my...